Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Failing Better, everyone's favourite podcast. We're so delighted to have you here for this fabulous episode. If this is your first time listening, I'm Sean McLaughlin, one of the co-hosts. Johnny Pelham, other host, is here.
That's me.
Very happy about it as well. And I just want to thank you all for listening. Johnny, what's going on? What have you got anything you want to say to our listeners, especially if they're new?
If you're new, why not go back and listen to an old episode after this episode to get a real feel of what this podcast is all about? It is a self-help podcast where you're dedicated to making your life better. You know, we are both life coaches. We've worked in this field for over a decade now, and we just want you to fulfill your potential. That's what this 100%. Podcast is.
I said this on the Patreon episode, but I'll say it here. My wife said to me this morning, the fact that we're listed as self-help, under the self-help banner, she says is borderline fraud. and then I said to her, I said, have you given us a 5-star review? And she went, yeah, I have.
Resentfully, though. Yeah. Like it was a chore.
Which all of you should do. Give us a 5-star review and subscribe and follow.
Even if this is your first time listening, just fucking do it. What's the worst that can happen?
You know, the world's an algorithm now and we need your help. So yeah, give us a 5-star review, subscribe, follow. And the key thing is just enjoy yourself. I mean, we've been having a fun week. What's the funnest thing you've done this week, Johnny?
Eating a prawn.
A single prawn. Not many restaurants serve them in that measure, but Johnny found one.
I found one and he said, do you want prawns? I said, did I say prawns or did I say prawn?
I want the king prawn.
No, not I wanted the surf prawn. I was like, what's your most surfy prawn?
Don't know if I can afford a royal prawn. Why are you eating prawns? Let's talk through that then, Johnny. This sounds like an amazing anecdote waiting to unfold.
Well, basically, as you know, I've stopped eating meat, but I'm still eating fish. But I was going to talk to you about this, actually. Do you think that is there any justification for being a pescatarian as opposed to like a full meat eater / vegetarian?
Well, I suppose what would your justification be in your head?
In my head, fish.
So they don't have souls.
Fish is shit. I just think fish is shit. But then I don't know if that's like just because I don't empathise with fish because I don't live underwater. Maybe I need to spend a year living underwater and then I can see the beauty of fish.
Why don't you move to bloody coastal USA, climate change?
Move to Bangladesh, where that is going to be.
That was a dark, dark place to take the joke. I think fish is... the only meat I've eaten in the last sort of few years has been fish.
Really?
And I've done that sort of usually under duress.
By who? Who's forcing you to eat fish? What situation is going
on? I don't know who he is. He's 7 foot, he's a trout, he's got a gun, and he goes, you were going to eat some fish, boy.
So the trout wants... He's a 7 foot trout with a gun.
He's self-hating. He's like Samuel L. Jackson in Django Unchained. He can't... He doesn't know what's going on.
Well, I imagine if you were a 7 foot trout, you've had quite a difficult life. You wouldn't have fit in at school, would he?
Well, look. He wouldn't have fit in at school or in the school of fish that he was in. Welcome to the pod, by the way. 5-star reviews.
It would be weird if you looked up and there was you, another kid, and then a trout in a fishbowl.
No, he's not in a fishbowl. I think he's got some sort of breathing apparatus around his gills.
And so he's forcing you to eat fish, is he?
He's not forcing me. Look, I think we've reached...
You said under duress.
We have reached a cul-de-sac within this... When I say under duress, I mean like I'm in a country or at a restaurant which has very few vegetarian options, or if any. And sometimes, like if I was on holiday in Italy a couple of years ago, I was with my wife, and there was one place we went to, and I was like, I think I might just get anchovies on this.
Yeah.
Like, there was something I really, really wanted, and it had anchovies. I said, I'll just get it. I'll just...
And was your wife supportive of that decision?
She...
Is she more like strict than you? I was going to say militant, but then
she won't have any of it.
And is she that have any of it.
And to be honest, I won't. I mean, 99.999% of the time, I won't either. But I think there are some places where it's hard to be vegetarian, and I'm usually a bit like, oh fine. I sort of
KFC.
Sure, we're in Southampton. It's not that hard. Fine, steak, medium rare. But
I think
pescatarian is a cop out.
It feels stupid to me. Even I think if it I'm is eating a prawn, I think. But then I just think I don't give a shit about. Do I care about mackerel?
If you don't give a shit, then it's there's no issue. Because also the one thing about fish is, and I think some doctors would say that, is
say what on what you're about to
well,
say.
It's so healthy. Like yeah. They're so good for you.
Mm.
And if you don't eat, like I don't eat have dairy products anymore. I don't have eggs.
Because you're full cook, yeah. You're full cook.
I'm cut cold. I'm so under the thumb. It's a joke. But if you don't eat meat and you don't eat dairy and you don't eat eggs, I know people who were vegan who went to see their doctor and their doctor said you should start eating just a bit of fish every once a week or maybe once every other week.
Interesting. But do you think they're working for the Mackerel Corporation?
I've heard
about Big Pharma.
It's Big Trout. It's one Big Trout who's going around. He's going door to door and to GP surgeries. He's got a gun. I'm not sure. I don't know if he knows how to use it, but I'm not willing to take that risk.
I like this episode because it got really, really odd, really quick.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, fish I really like. Fish is the one thing that I think they haven't replicated in vegan form, but I bought vegan fish fingers last week and they were really nice.
But I don't think fish fingers is like fish, because I don't...
Like, no, it's processed, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like a mackerel on toast is so nice. But then, there's no ethical reason that I think it's okay to eat a cow not okay to eat a cow and it's okay to eat a mackerel.
Well, look, bottom line is this. A cow and a pig is smarter than a fish, and anyone who says otherwise needs to put their head down a toilet.
Well, there's another. I've got webbed toes, so maybe this is a form of self sort of. You know, maybe I'm part fish and I'm sort of eating.
That is a huge caveat to everything we've been talking about, Johnny. You've got webbed toes. Of course, this affects it. Of course, because you're thinking. I mean, you're like, what? You think you need to maintain yourself?
Every time I see a mackerel, I'm thinking about my great-grandfather.
It's amazing. It only took two generations for basically the entire mackerel side to disappear.
Well, it still pops up at night sometimes when I'm in the bath.
I miss fish and chips. I mean, that's what I miss. I miss fish and chips.
Yeah, that is
me. And I love fish and chips.
Really?
I love fish and chips. But you know, a lot of places do vegan stuff. I get a veggie pie whenever I go to my local one,
and that's as good as fish and chips, right? A veggie pie.
I mean, it's not, but it's okay. Yeah. And actually, a lot of places now do. The thing is for me is, you can get vegan fish and chips now. That's really nice.
I mean, veganism has upped its game so much. But I'm still vegan. No, not vegan. Still veggie, and I'm still not drinking, baby. I think I'm smashing this January.
Yeah. How are you feeling? How are you sleeping? Are you sleeping well?
It's so the same. Like, you want there to be this difference where you're like, yeah, I'm such a better version of myself. I'm still the same shit human. I just probably...
You don't seem better, I have to say. I've not had a conversation with you and thought, bloody hell, Johnny's up to his game.
I'm. If anything, I'm more self-conscious of what a moron I am. That's all it does. It gives me the reflective capability to go, God, I should be better.
Wow. You're like the scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. It's like actually getting a brain is probably a big mistake for you.
Yeah,
you realise, you know, it's like Flowers for... Have you ever read that book, Flowers for Algernon? Algernon?
No, it sounds like you haven't either.
I've read it. I've not pronounced it.
Ooh.
So there you go, Johnny.
Because I still read
I said
out
that,
loud.
And that was a smart thing I just said. I had 14 pints last night, so live with it.
I think
you should read Flowers for Algernon. It's about you. It's about a really thick idiot who undergoes an experiment and becomes very, very intelligent and realizes in that intelligence that his entire life people have been making fun of him and people he's not been able to have a proper life, and then it wears off and he becomes less and less intelligent, and it's all written in the form of diary entries. It's one of the best science fiction stories. It's so good.
Right, well, you've told me the ending, so I won't need to read that. But thank you for that synopsis.
And in the end, Bruce Willis is also a ghost.
Oh, my God. I didn't see it coming. I think one of the things I'm really happy about in my life, though, is that I have no potential to waste. Like, some people, you know, if you're, like, immense, if you've got Einstein level of IQ, you have a duty to live your life carefully and prudently and productively. Whereas me, I can just be a fucking more, like, there's no danger to me wasting my life away.
I think that's really profound, actually, what you just said.
I think it's true.
I mean, that's the bottom line. It's true. But I also think it's, you've got a level of self-honesty there. Because I still think that I could do a lot of things.
What do you think you can do?
Well, I was going to talk about this in a bit. But I genuinely... I've been looking into like businesses in my area which I could purchase. Because I think maybe I could be a business owner.
I can't be a business owner.
Right, I'm not joking. Johnny, I'm not fucking around here. Real talk. There's a mini golf course on the top of my road that's for sale for 90 grand. And I have seriously thought about it.
So what... 90 grand's quite cheap. What would you...
It is a terrible mini golf course.
Oh, really? What's wrong with it?
It's shit. They built it. It had this big song and dance when it opened. Honestly, the holes... You could fit the entire course in this room. But what they have got is a bar. Yeah. It's a great location. And they've got old arcade games. So I was thinking... I think they should just scrap the whole mini golf, turn it into a cool bar with arcade stuff. I think they'd make a killing.
That's a good idea. I mean, that is a good idea. That's the sort of hipster shit that people love in the area you live. Why don't they do that?
My area is not a hipster area.
But
you
it
honestly
is
think Streatham is?
Yeah, it is.
It's gentrified, but it's not that though, is it?
I've lived in Streatham. It's gentrified. People like me are moving in, and we're making it worse.
I suppose it's... I do think there's an avenue for that. There's an arcade bar in Peckham that's really cool. And I do think you could do really well. Because this place is in such a good location.
And in 90
grand!
Are you getting all the property and everything?
Well, no. You probably take ownership of the lease, the facilities, and I assume the loans. I mean, that's the bottom... The problem is you probably also take control of the loans.
I think it is a bad idea. If I was going to... I'd definitely get financial advice. I mean, how much money are you earning? Like £8 a month or something?
Well, look, I need investors, Johnny. That's kind of why I wanted to have this chat.
Well, luckily,
and our listeners.
I just got 90 grand. My grandma just died yesterday and I've got £90,000. So that's very coincidental. And so maybe this could really work out.
How did she die?
She got drowned in money. 90
wow.
grand. Yeah, yeah. Only 90 grand though.
Like Scrooge McDuck without a life jacket.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
So look, I'm not gonna spend 90 grand on what I would say is a failing business because I'd still have to put a lot of money in.
Well,
however,
yeah.
There is an old barber shop at the top of my road.
Yeah.
Now that is 12 grand a year. 12 grand a year to rent the barber shop. It's £1,000 a month.
And you were talking about wanting to be a hairdresser in a previous.
No, set, yeah, but you? I'm not gonna run it as a barber shop. I just run it as a bar.
Mm.
I'll call it Barber. There you go. Already got the name. Barber shop.
Barber. I like it.
Barber shop.
And you can do stand-up there. You can do a gig every night there.
It's tiny.
How small?
I mean, I don't want to use this room again as a unit of measurement.
All I'll say is this is mainly an audio...
Yeah, it's a very... It's a small unit that had... There was a barber shop that was there that had two seats.
Yeah, so that's not a bar then.
So what you could do is run a very small sort of craft beery thing. We could probably fit about three tables in there, maybe four. The key thing is in the summer, I think there's room outside for sidewalk expansion.
And so that's £1,000 a month. Maybe you do that. Would you like to run a bar?
The thing is, I would like to do it until day one.
Yeah.
Until day one of opening it, and there's no customers, and I'm thinking, why have I risked my life doing this?
And the
why
problem
have
is,
I done this? Yeah, I'd only want to do it if it was a success immediately, and it wouldn't be, and my wife would leave me.
And the problem with running a bar is you look around and you think, well, I'm getting pissed. Like, if I had a bar, I would just become an alcoholic. I'd just be like, well, I'm just going to have another. Like, I'd just start drinking earlier and earlier. And
When I was working in bars, that's always how it ended up.
Yeah.
That's always how it ended up.
And before you know it, you just, people are walking into your bar and you're like covered in vomit on the ground. People are like, I probably won't stay here.
Just becomes a DOS house in 3 days. I worked at the bar at the Reading Festival when I was 18.
Oh my God.
And the last shift was 6 p.m. to midnight on the Sunday night. I was shit-faced by 7.
Of course.
Or 8. Me and my friend were doing it. We were drinking quadruple whiskey and cokes on the job.
Of course though.
It was brilliant. We were like, who's going to supervise us? We're all going home tomorrow. I'm never doing this job again.
What a clever man you are. You could have run
off. What a clever man. And I'm going to use that bar experience to open barber shop.
That's exciting. So you're going to become a businessman. What about...
I fantasise about it. I fantasise about it. But the problem is you do have to make money. And that's never been something I'm very good at.
No, I get that. What about we turn it into a podcast studio?
I don't think that's going to make more money, is it?
I think it will. Yeah, because I think we could rent it out to everyone. Who off menu can come and do their podcast or barbershop.
Yeah, get all your big Oscar winners down to Streatham.
Judi Dench, Poppadoms or Nan?
Poppadoms or Nan, Judy. If you want, there's a great mini golf around the corner if you want. Make a day of it.
Step over the tall man covered in sick. Just ignore him.
Ignore it.
He's the landlord. Ignore the man, the crying man with the stupid hair in the corner. He's his mate. He just found out his wife's left.
I mean, off menu would go in a very different direction, wouldn't it? Every episode is just sort of, there's a background of us wailing. Oh, so when did you first realise that you were the greatest guitarist of your generation? Oh,
fuck,
Johnny.
Yeah.
Maybe that is actually not a bad idea, to turn it into a podcast. It probably would be the perfect size for a podcast studio.
It's what we got to do, baby.
£1,000 a month. I mean, how much do you have to charge for a podcast? We could do £100 an hour. You could probably charge.
Do you think?
Well, the problem is you'd have to buy equipment. If you had all the equipment there, you'd probably be £100 an hour.
I think...
I actually think is quite a viable idea.
I think the key is, well, let's email James and Ed and see if they'll be willing to do it.
Before I commit to this, would you be interested in coming to record your smash hit international podcast in an old barber shop that I'm acquiring the lease on? FYI, it will not be soundproofed and it is overlooking the train tracks.
And Johnny has a key and it is allowed unlimited beer.
Johnny has a key. It's also a bar. Johnny lives in Manchester. So if there's a fuck-up, one of you is going to have to pick up the key from Manchester.
I think it's an appealing pitch.
Mm.
And all we can hope, I guess, is that James and Ed are good enough and moral enough to take us up on it or
well, it's,
offer.
It, I mean, moral is the word, I think. I mean, the key thing is a test of their morality. So that's what I've been doing. I looked that up and I said it to my wife at like midnight the other night. What are you looking at? I went, I'm just looking at... There's a Vietnamese restaurant that's for sale. That's a good restaurant. I'm like, maybe I should just buy it and just let it run.
Why is everything shutting down? What's going on?
Well, it's just very hard to run a business, particularly in a part of town where... I think people think the part of town I was in, I think there was an assumption that it was...
Yeah, yeah.
It was going to be
like that
Clapham,
for years, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think it's clearly reached its limit. Which I'm happy about, because I like that it's still relatively normal. It's still a bit rough around the edges, which I sort of like.
What I love, Sean, is you've seen a series of failing businesses and like a disaster capitalist for this calls for Sean McLaughlin.
Yeah, but someone who's... I'm not going to go in there, strip the assets and find a way of making money. I'm going to go in there, make even bigger mistakes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to make a bigger Vietnamese restaurant. We're going to need a bigger wok.
I'm going to get a second lease out at an old barbershop. That's going to be where the wok is.
people crossing the road with a giant wok, eight members of staff.
It's just it's like ants going from the anthill out. Just constant. The meals are being prepared. 10-minute walk away from the restaurant. So it's just a constant flow.
I mean, that's really astute. I'd like to see you on Dragon's Den. Talk to Deborah Meaden about your business plan.
All right. So we'll do it. I go, hi. I'm looking to, which business are we going for? Podcast studio.
All of them.
I'm looking to open a podcast studio and convert a mini putt into an arcade bar and continue a Vietnamese restaurant. I would like you to invest £400,000 for 1% of the business.
Sean, that's a great idea. I love everything about you. I love the way you're dressed. I love your pitch. But
thank you for commenting on the way I'm dressed, by the way, because some people thought a full suit of armour would be a bit much. But I think it shows that I'm impervious.
And you're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
As the scouts always say, wear a suit of armour at all times. I love you. I love everything about you. You wanted 400 grand.
I love you too, babe.
Well, thank you. And may I say, under that armour suit, I can see beautiful eyes. I'll just say that. I love
your
eyes.
And a heart that swells with pride as you say that.
And also, I'm wearing no trousers. I'll just say that.
Okay. Are the other dragons wearing trousers or just you, Deborah?
None of us wear trousers. No one knows that.
Is that how you make your money? You just save it?
It's an OnlyFans. Dragon's Den is half business funds, okay. Half an OnlyFans.
Do you have enough money to invest in my business? Because it sounds like you guys are all struggling a bit.
We're not struggling. We're making millions. People love seeing my underwear. This has got creepy on.
You've taken the weirdest route here, Johnny, and I'm curious to know how you're going to bring it back round.
Well, I'm going to pop my trousers back on because
we are so bad at improvising. We are terrible improvisers.
You're meant to say yes, and you're not meant to say yes, and now Deborah Meaden has no trousers.
Yes, and we're all naked. Yeah. What?
Yes, and we've gone unpleasant again.
Okay.
Basically, you can have all the money you want.
Cheers, thanks. Well, just another great little vignette there for the listeners.
So you're
look, guys, if you're enjoying this and you want more of it, you can sign up to our Patreon. You can help me reach my goal. I want to make $90,000 and buy a bar.
Buy a bar.
Patreon.com/failingbetter. We've got more Patreons every week. We're so proud to have them. And we're working on Patreon events in the next sort of month or so.
It's
so sign up now and you get loads of... you can watch all the old episodes and you can see...
First event opening to a new bar. Only three people can fit in at once, though. So
only three people can fit in there. And it's not free drinks. It's not a soft launch. It's the hardest launch. The drink prices are higher than they normally are.
So if you haven't had a good week, other than thinking about business ventures...
Today's Friday, is it?
Yep.
I'm gonna go through my diary and tell you what I've done this week, Johnny.
You're doing Live at the Apollo tonight.
I'm doing it. I've already recorded it.
It's coming out tonight.
It's coming out tonight, Johnny. You've done Live at the Apollo.
I certainly have.
And how transformative did it have on your life?
Genuinely didn't enjoy the experience. Made me feel quite unpleasant going afterwards and wouldn't recommend it.
Well, 9:45, BBC Two, will still be available on the iPlayer. I did enjoy doing it.
Did you enjoy doing it?
Well, yeah, it was a good. It's a gig, isn't it? It's a big gig.
What was your? It's quite exciting how like they drive you down. They drove me down from Manchester, which felt so stupid. I just got the train.
Yeah, they drove me from London. I guess that's the thing with a lot of TV is like there's a lot of money in television. They always are just picking you up in cars. I'm always like. I don't want this. I remember the first time when I did Stand Up Central for Russell Howard, I said, no, I'm just going to get the tube.
And that's what I did.
I'd rather just be on public transport than be in an Addison Lee with this embittered man who's like, yesterday I was driving Madonna and now I'm driving this fucking idiot.
If you've ever been in Addison Lee, all they do is tell you the better person they drove the day before.
Yeah.
I always just think, I don't want the car, I just want the money.
Yeah, can I have the equivalent?
This is going to cost you like 200 quid. I'll just have 200 quid. I'm really skin.
I agree with you 100%. I don't know why they do that. I guess there's still that kind of...
Yeah, and there's like flowers.
Ego in all of it.
There's
yeah.
flowers in the green room that are crazily expensive. It's like, just give me the 40 quid.
And yeah. And there's like all these sets. They've like sets cameras. And I'm like, don't have any cameras. Yeah. Just give me the 400 quid that would have costed those cameras. And I'll just draw you what my set would look like.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with that. There should be less money in television and more money in my back pocket.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
And that's why we are anti-BBC. Oh, yeah. Failing better. No, genuinely, we're not. I love the BBC, and I'm very proud to be on it tonight.
Well, it's 3 days ago when this comes out. So go
I
back
really,
and watch
I
it
really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed doing it. I thought I'd be very nervous, but... I went out there and it was fine, I think. I mean, it's not to say I had such an amazing set, but I just thought, oh, it's just a gig. It's another gig.
Mm.
Which is, you know, I suppose that's how you should feel, right?
I think so. I quite enjoyed doing the gig, actually. I think I just, because I did it about being sexually abused as a child, which was a bold move.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, yes,
there
yes,
it
yes.
is.
A brave
there it is,
move.
Listener.
A brave move by a brave boy / man. I then just felt too exposed and realised I wish I'd not done it about that.
What would you have done it about?
How I am a lovely, cool man.
Okay.
I just read out
how
my...
How much gear have you got on that then?
I just read out just my positive traits. Good listener. Kind. Not bad in a difficult situation, so long as all you need is moral support and no practical help.
And you'd have just goodbye. Done that. That
goodbye, just... Apollo.
Hi. Hey, any chance I could get that money instead of a car? We're not getting either, I'm afraid, Johnny, after that.
No, I wish I just did my club set.
That show is so incredible. And the jokes in it were so good. I mean, did you have a good gig?
The gig went really well. I mean, it was just afterwards, I think. Because...
What are you? Can I just say, you're sitting in a weird way there, listeners. Johnny's recording this in his attic, and he's been sitting on bubble wrap for an hour and a half. What's going on? Are you stood up now?
I'm had to kneel because my ass was really hurting. So now I'm kneeling on bubble wrap. This is such a bad podcast. This is literally, we don't know about Denver Mead and having an OnlyFans, and now I'm kneeling on bubble wrap.
Okay. Anyway, yes, please watch me on Live at the Apollo. It's very good. Well, I think
are you excited? Are you excited for it?
Well...
It's the dream, isn't it, when you start?
I think it is that. I think it's more like that. It's more like it's still the big show to get.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that I can just put that on a poster is really good, right? I mean, that's what you probably find. You just find that it's a good thing to... Even if you... No one does well on it. It's weird.
It's on... I mean, my poster, when I do Edinburgh in August, is going to say Live at the Apollo Mock the Week on it. And that's going to help flog tickets to people who are going to hate the show they subsequently watch.
Are you going to put Failing Better on your poster?
I don't think so.
What?
Where would I put it? I mean, I'll put it in tiny writing at the bottom.
Star. No, not star. Go like...
So main attraction of
regular guest of hit podcast Failing Better,
massive in Ho Chi Minh City, the biggest podcast in Vietnam. I should just say that because who's checking that? Start of Failing Better.
Who's checking any of it? Honestly, who's checking any of it? Who's checking any of it? Anyone can say anything and no one's checking it.
Start of the Titanic.
Start of the Titanic, the ship, captain of the Titanic. I always think that about like qualifications and stuff.
Just
like if I apply, I'm just going to go, yeah, I got a first class degree from Oxford. No one's going to who is ever going to check?
I think that's interesting. Would they check?
Is there a central? I think they check if you worked in like the public sector. Like if you're a teacher, you probably have to get checked, or if you're a doctor. But like if I was just applying for a regular job in an office, and I got a first from, I went to Yale.
Yeah.
And I got an A+.
I got a level 6.
But there's no like central database. Maybe there is one where it says what we all got.
I like the idea that you go from doing Live for the Apollo to next week applying for a job in an office.
The problem is that is the fragility of a career in the arts. Yeah, that's where we are.
You might get cancelled. Cancelled. Your horse buying joke.
That horse buying joke apparently is on the edit and has been edited significantly.
Oh, really?
Because I mentioned the RSPCA and I wasn't meant to do that. They said they were worried about the legal ramifications. I go, for the fucking RSPCA, what's going to happen? Is a badger going to sue you?
I In my joke, I talk about the person in the guy abused me was black, and they couldn't let that, that couldn't clear.
What, in Live of the Apollo?
Yeah, and they said if there's any way it could be linked to anyone, then it's not. So that I couldn't mention that he was black. I should say at this point, he wasn't really black, it was the whole thing was a ruse.
Oh, God. If this is your first time listening, my.
My. Go back and watch my... I don't think...
Is yours even online? I think I looked for yours. I looked for it, because I was sort of looking at others to see how they sort of... Yeah, I didn't know. But how can you play it? Every audience is different. I was the last one on in the last recording. So I basically, as soon as I found that out, I was like, well, I'm going to die on my arse.
You're the headliner. You're headlining the whole Apollo
thing. I was the whole event headliner. The Queen had died 3 days earlier. She had yet to be buried. And we've been told it is a miracle the show is being recorded. You can't mention the royal family or even... Or anything that could even be close to referencing the royal family. That meant that my opening and closing routine had to change.
What was your opening routine? What jokes have you got about the Queen?
First was, I'm going to murder the Queen. That was my first one. And I'm going to make it look like it was old age.
That's a good joke to me.
It was. And my second one was just about how I think Prince Andrew's innocent. So I did have to lose them, which actually, in hindsight, you go, whew, bullet dodged, because I didn't end up killing the Queen.
Unlike the Queen.
Unlike the Queen. Imagine that. Imagine if it emerged that I shot the Queen. Gun crime. They'd be like, that's Sadiq Khan's London. That's what they'd say.
You'd shoot the Queen after she just died of old age. You'd sneak in, shoot her, and you're like, oh, she died.
I did it. They go, no, you didn't. Can you get done for murder? That's a really interesting question, actually.
Yeah.
But look, interesting is you have to use a more sort of elastic definition of it. The Queen is dead.
Yeah.
She's been announced as dead. Family have been informed. They're all on the way.
Yeah.
I burst in the room.
Yeah.
A shooter.
Yeah.
What happens? I can't go down for murder.
Attempted murder, though.
I haven't. What if I say, I already know she's dead? If I go, I already know she's dead, then I go.
Vandalism.
Breaking and entering. You'd probably get breaking and entering. Wielding a firearm.
Well, the only way to really prove this is to wait until we next hear that someone famous is dead and then very quickly get in our car with our guns and find out.
Should we find out if someone's died since the recording of this?
How? What do you mean?
Since we started recording.
All right.
I haven't got a gun, though.
I haven't got a gun, either. If we stab them, I've got plenty of knives. If anyone around my area is listening, plenty of fucking knives. Stay away from me.
Oh, no.
It's been a weird episode,
isn't it? Is this shit? Is this been... This is one of those that I sort of think, oh, it's quite fun, and then part of me is going, this could seriously damage our careers.
Comedians joke about dead murdering Queen.
No. Of course, it was very sad, obviously, when the Queen
died.
If
the Daily Mail came out with that, we'd get so much hate. Like, imagine if, out of context, the Daily Mail just ran a thing that said, like, comedians on stupid podcasts joke about murdering
the
Queen.
They're not going to call it stupid, but they're not allowed to editorialise when they're talking on the news.
No, I'm sure.
We don't think it's stupid. We think it's a really smart podcast.
Hosts of wonderful podcasts.
Greatest podcast in Britain hosts let themselves down with discussion of murdering the Queen.
Like Holly and Phil.
What was all that about when that happened? Was it Holly and Phil?
They jumped the queue, the big queue. They jumped it.
Oh yes. For all our international listeners, Holly and Phil are British TV hosts who apparently jumped the queue to see the Queen's casket that clearly didn't have her body in it. Are we allowed to say that?
Do you not think it had a money in it?
No, why would they keep her body there?
Because everyone can wander past and go like, oh, the Queen's dead.
It's just the box. She clearly wasn't in there.
When do you think she was?
I know she I've got... I she's killed
in, her. She's in your freezer.
She's in my...
Wow. I mean, this is... I think... What if this gets
this
out...
This could be a cancelable episode.
Yeah.
Should we sing... I think we should say, should we sing God Save the King now, just to prove our allegiance?
All right. After three, God save the King.
God save the King. God save the King. He's got lovely things.
God save the King. Well, they can't cancel us now. We're uncancelable.
Oh, thank God. for the God Save the King clause.
Yes.
Are you worried? Should we re-record this episode?
I can't be arsed.
I can't either. I think it'll be fine. You can't be arsed. You can't do anything with your arse these days. Not with all that bubble wrap you sat on.
I got a hernie ass. I think it does need to improve though, quite quick.
Yeah, we do need to improve the. We do need to drag this podcast up to a 3-star experience. But do give us a 5-star review. Look, when we say give us a 5-star review, we don't think this is a 5-star podcast. We know what this is. But it would really help us if you gave us a 5-star review. And we're nice people.
We are nice people, in spite of what you heard. And if you're a royalist, we apologise.
But that is true. Like, I did lose my opening and closing jokes on Apollo, which was annoying, but, you know, whatever. What can you do?
Yeah.
I could have
not killed the Queen the week before.
I mean, I didn't. I need to make this very clear. I didn't kill the Queen. I respected her wishes to not be murdered. She made it very clear to me in a letter, please don't murder me. And I respected that because she's been our monarch for a long time.
Well, that's very kind of you, very generous. And many congratulations for not killing the Queen.
I mean, to be honest, it doesn't matter what we said. We did an episode about Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh, we did.
We've already done a full episode about it. And some of the stuff coming out of your gob.
Yeah,
I'm more pro-Queen than you are, I think.
I don't like the Queen. I feel more fond of her now she's dead, in a weird way.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, so what else is happening other than you doing live with Apollo and us randomly talking about the Queen being dead for 30 minutes? In quite a vulgar and unpleasant way. I think this has been quite an unpleasant episode.
In what way?
I think talking about Deborah Mead and having an OnlyFans felt
But that was
quite...
you. You did that.
Yeah, yeah, but you joined in.
Yeah, I definitely joined in.
And then we talked about you murdering the Queen. I think there's been quite a lot of sort of latent misogyny and the patriarchy's existed quite strongly. Maybe we do a bit of a joke about how women are good. Any women you like, Sean?
I like my dentist dental hygienist.
Are they both women?
Both women. Went to them, actually, this week.
Good segue.
Thank you. But also, but enough of talking about my mode of transportation. We're back. We're back. Oh, thank God.
Cancel this. You can't cancel the truth. You cannot cancel the truth.
I went for a dentist appointment and a dental hygienist appointment this week.
What is a dental hygienist? Someone who just tells you to brush your teeth more?
No, they do. They brush it for you. They have you never had a dental hygienist appointment?
No.
They're great.
Sean, I've never been to the dentist.
I was wondering that. What is your dental regime?
My dental regime is I brush my teeth in the morning and in the evening, and I use mouthwash in the evening.
And do you not, you don't go to the dentist? You don't have checkups?
I probably do, but like every like 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got bad teeth.
This was my first one in about 3 years or two.
I've got
bad
teeth for a British person, internationalist. So I think if I went to America, I'd get cancelled just for being... Every time I smiled, someone would faint.
You should go to a dental hygienist. Because what they do is they get all the stuff out from between your teeth.
The gunk.
They, like, scrape you right down, all the plaque out.
And then Does it hurt?
No, not really. And then they... But they have, like, cool equipment. And then they... It's called a scale and polish. So they scale it, and then they polish your teeth. So they're nice and white.
Smile now for me, Sean.
No, you can't really see it.
Can't see anything.
No,
though.
You can't see anything. And the key thing is I had that before the dentist. And normally you'd go the other way around. So by the time I went for my checkup, it lasted 5 minutes. They went, yeah, nothing wrong here. And I was like, I think it's because the dental hygienist took away all the bad things.
So are you meant to go to a dentist? How often does the dental hygienist say you should go to see them?
I think I'd rather go to the dental hygienist. If you're going to go to one every 6 months, it should be the dental hygienist. But that is not a medical opinion. That is just an opinion. Like, my teeth are okay. Mm. And it's just they just clean them up.
That sounds good. I might go to a dental hygienist.
I read a thing about old people.
Yeah.
And it was about regrets they had.
Yeah.
And they said, what are your biggest regrets? And loads of them, their biggest regret is not looking after their teeth better.
Is that because it's so painful?
Well, I think it becomes if you don't have, if your teeth aren't in that good a shape, the older you get, the harder it gets.
That makes so much sense. Maybe I'm going to book into the dental, like, listeners, Go and book into your dental hygienist.
This episode is sponsored by a dental hygienist. The concept of hygiene in your mouth. But I'm very lucky. My teeth are sort of all right. But then I've got a chip on one of them. And I said to my dentist, I go, is there like a cap or something you can put on them? And she was like, well, I could, but it would be so slim it would just come off. She goes, what I could do is file down your other teeth so they're more even. And I went, definitely not.
And that sounds mad.
I go, that sounds like a torture. I'm fine. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. I've had quite a week. Business owner, appearing on television, and a dentist appointment. I mean, it's this kind of rock and roll lifestyle. Now, obviously, this week as well, we've got to go soon. We were meant to do. I think we talked about this in the Patreon, but we haven't talked about it on the main app. This was meant to be the week that we were going to appear on Bert Kreischer's podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was meant to be on Monday. Yeah.
Fucking Bert
Kreischer, who, by the way, I was told by his assistant they would not be requiring us as soon as I said I want to bring Johnny with me.
Yeah, and that's the context.
That is genuinely the truth. I was invited to go on one of the biggest podcasts in the world. They said, bring whoever you want. And I said, I'm going to bring my friend Johnny Pelham. I do a podcast with him. He's a great comedian. I immediately got an email back on Christmas Eve saying, we don't need you. We're not doing it anymore.
That is hurtful. So what will be happening now then?
It'll be happening now. Can you get a chair for your...
I'm going to get a chair...
For next time.
Next time. It's been... It's the last half of this ep, all I've been thinking about is my chair, my bubble wrap, and how I'm going to stand. Because it's going to be weird because I'm looming over the microphone.
I'm going to get a screenshot of this and put it on our Twitter and our Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
Why should I? You're supposed to be doing our social media.
Guys, look, we're advertising for a social media.
We're not. Guys. No, we're not. We've got one. He's called Johnny Pelham and he's done nothing.
This year,
What was the last tweet or photo you put up on our Failing Better thing?
Fuck knows. I mean, it wasn't for a while. It was a long time ago. I think the thing about me is I shouldn't be in charge of social media due to not really understanding what is or how it works.
Well, then why don't you do the editing on the episodes and I'll do the social media?
I don't understand really how to edit or what editing means.
Can you make clips?
I don't understand what is a clip. The problem is,
clips what I was going to kill Queen Elizabeth with.
I don't know.
But then I didn't, so there you go, don't cancel it.
If anyone has got a lot of spare time and a sort of, frankly, pathological desire...
We're not getting anyone else in on this, Johnny. We're not getting anyone... We need to pull ourselves up. Yes, you can.
I'm too stupid. I'm an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
Sean, I don't have a chair or any light in this room.
I just think at some point you need to take control of this, Johnny.
I think it's mad. Because this is what I was saying earlier. We were talking about this in this episode of the Patreon episode about how I'm doing dry January. I've not drank for a month. Nothing's better. Like you think
worse. You seem worse.
If you're not doing dry January, you think I'll buy a chair, and that's never crossed my mind once.
What are you doing the rest of the day?
I'm going to go to Edinburgh.
What?
Yeah, I'm doing the stand. They just cannot get enough. Those cheeky little Scottish people.
They are probably the cheekiest part of the United Kingdom. I'd say the Scots.
They love it. I go, hello, I'm English. They start to boo. I start to cry.
How good it would be if you were coming to London on Monday to do Bert Kreischer's podcast.
It'd be so much fun.
We'd have so many listeners.
That's the thing is, we just need...
Do you know who his last guest was?
Who?
Instead of us.
Who?
Louis C.K.
Well...
So maybe we dodged
the bullet. Less funny, but more moral. So that's what you get with us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our jokes are pretty funny, our wisdom is wise, our morality is strong, but ultimately that's sometimes not enough.
What more could you want? Our jokes are funny, our wisdom's wise. What more could you want? That's our catchphrase.
I feel like you've done a lot of exposition in this episode, which I've quite enjoyed. Do you think
I don't know why. I'm suddenly thinking, what if you're listening to this for the first time?
Do you think it's because you've done your Apollo? That is because this ep, let's be honest, is leaving me feeling a bit hungry. Quite starving, to be honest.
And I'm as hungry as I've ever been. But like always, first half, I was like, I feel nicely satisfied. And then the sort of hunger pangs grew.
Yeah. I think when we start, I think I've led us astray. And you know what? I don't think you've led us astray.
I think, look, Johnny,
even
we're in this together.
Even the first half, when you were talking about all the things you want to buy, I wasn't feeling that full then. And then it went to Dembamina. Then it was a long...
Okay, Johnny. In order to save this podcast, what do you suggest a topic of conversation that you think would be better?
All right, give me 1 second to do that.
Okay. Oh,
what do you think about the role of NGOs in ending poverty?
What is NGOs?
Non-governmental organisations. I'm thinking things like Oxfam. I'm thinking things like... Save the Children.
But these, charitable organisations.
I guess the issue is they're hierarchical and they are often people from the global West dictating to people in poorer countries. Do you think that is needed because they have the infrastructure and the money to allow that to develop and help these countries? Or do you think it is a last bastion of imperialism?
I mean, genuinely, is this what you think this episode has been missing? Is this genuinely what you think this episode is?
I was talking to my sister about it yesterday and I thought it was an interesting question.
Well, I suppose it's probably... I'm going on gut instinct here, Johnny, just to let you know, before you shut me down. I assume it's a very complex issue.
Boring. People don't want that. We don't want complexity.
Cameron. Oi, Cameron, leave it out. We want Corbyn.
Nuance to our...
I assume there are drawbacks to it because is a bit.
Say it in a sentence.
Said it in a sentence. No, I assume there are drawbacks to it, but I also think I assume for a lot of these, especially if there's catastrophes, environment.
You can get this on.
I'm not gonna be spoken to by a man who is now hunched over his desk because he's been sitting on bubble wrap so long that his ass hurts. Okay, you are not going to get the high ground here conversationally.
You have to just be a say in a sentence.
What do you fucking think of it then, Noam Chomsky?
NGOs are bad.
NGOs are bad. Sorry. Put that on a badge.
I will. It's on every badge I own.
Every badge I own. How many badges do you own then?
I own 4
million. Don't even have a badge. You own more badges than chairs. Stack them up and sit on them next time. God, I hate doing this podcast with you so much.
You just don't have an answer to the complex questions that the world needs answering.
But that's, as you said, they're complex questions. I was trying to answer them.
They
and
need
your
simple answers. Complex questions require simple answers.
Okay. I think it's probably fine.
Boo, wrong.
Okay, well, there you go. Why are they bad? What would be the alternative? They probably are. There probably are things you could do. Like dropping third world debt would be a huge thing. Giving governments... more money for infrastructure would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Sean, you're thinking about this too much. NGOs are bad. Private money is good.
That I am definitely thinking about this too much.
You are.
I can't get it off my lips.
You've got to be able to give any answer in 8 words. That's the key.
But are Western governments who do foreign aid not also effectively going to be doing the same thing? Because you say non-government organisations implies that governmental organisations would be an improvement, but maybe they won't be.
I mean, really, if you want an honest answer, I think they play a part, but are probably overly part of the solution at the moment, and there could be more democratic ways to help.
Oh, that's where I was basically going. I was saying they probably do play a part, but it would be nice if there were other avenues. Maybe where people are given the options to kind of empower themselves a bit
Maybe
more.
A Patreon episode. Maybe, like, if Uganda had a Patreon...
Why don't countries should have a Patreon?
£3 a month.
I mean, God, Britain's in real trouble at the minute. If Rishi Sunak said, right, we're launching a Patreon.
Extra content.
For £10 a month, you get there's an 8th Harry Potter book. There's a whole Beatles album that no one's ever heard. You get it if you subscribe to the British Patreon.
David Attenborough sort of narrates your life for an hour.
That's a really good idea. Countries should have a Patreon. Britain's would be very successful.
America's have been good.
That'd be all right.
So maybe that's the solution to world poverty, is everyone makes a Patreon.
I mean, I would say the thing is, though, that would also favour Western countries with more kind of socio-cultural power. That would be a victory of soft power, of which the West is still going to win.
I'm fine with that.
just cannot keep your story straight. And so you're, when you asked me that question, that hugely complex question about non-governmental organisations in the third world and developing world.
Yeah.
Your solution was they should have a Patreon and it would be good because our Patreon would be the best.
Sean, let me, if you try and lay out everything I say in an order, obviously it sounds illogical, irrational and stupid. What I do is I live in the cracks. I duck and weave. My logic is
I'm
not
sick
straightforward.
Of it. I'm sick of you talking about cracks in this episode. All we're hearing about is your crack and how much pain it's in sitting
on.
Oh,
yeah, my whole asshole has been real painful.
Alright. Well, I've got to go to a therapy session, so cheers everyone.
Oh, we didn't talk about therapy. That's
good
what
job
we
I've got
about.
A lot. That's a good job I've got a lot to talk about.
Genuinely, we had a pre-chat meeting. I said meeting. It was like
yeah, we went
30
to the
seconds. When Sean said he's going to therapy, and we're gonna talk about that. That'd have been such a better episode than this shit.
I mean, I actually think I might call them up and be like, I don't need it anymore. I've realised that actually I'm doing better than a lot of people, so
yeah. Well, I guess you just need to end this podcast and that'll probably help your mood.
Imagine if that's what my therapist says.
That would make a lot of sense to me.
You have to end this podcast. You're in an abusive relationship. I go, what, my wife? They go, no, with a man called Johnny Pelham.
Imagine if you go to your therapist and it's KH Pandas, one of our patrons.
I'm actually a Patreon. Imagine if my therapist was a Patreon. I don't know. I just don't know if I could keep going.
You'd have to end in a murder-suicide, I think. Yeah. That was it. The only thing you can do.
Well,
has this episode
flips.
Been long enough, though? That's my only worry.
Well, it's free. It's as long as we want to. We can do what we want with it.
All right.
Why? Why are you worried?
I'm always worried.
I think it's been an hour.
All right, great.
About an hour.
Shall we go, then? Well, good luck with your therapy, Sean. I hope it really gives you what you need.
Thanks. Good luck in Scotland, Johnny. I hope you buy a chair on the way back.
I won't. We'll be here again next week.
Next Tuesday. Genuinely, thank you all for the listeners. Thank you for the new Patreons. Do give us a review. Or at least a 5-star rating. Come on. It takes no time at all. It would really help us out.
And what else are you doing in your sad sap lives? Come on.
And watch... have you got anything to promote? Didn't you say you're doing a Leicester Comedy Festival show?
I'm doing Leicester Comedy Festival on the 12th of Feb. Somewhere in Leicester. Check it out. It's at noon, I think.
What if you're in the UK, catch up with my Live at the Apollo on the iPlayer. The BBC iPlayer.
The iPlayer.
And if you... By the time this goes out, my Cardiff date would have happened. But you can watch me in Brighton. That's sold out, but there's a waiting list. That's not... I mean, neither of these sales pitches have been good.
I think mine was pretty good, because it was like, I want them to do it more, so I'm not... I'm showing a bit of leg, but I'm not, you know, Denver me doing it.
There it is. Back to the gutter. Thanks, everyone.
Goodbye. And bye. God bless. Tunisia this time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.